Just over 24 hours away, we bring you Locked On Cardinals. Bo Brock, Alex Glancy with you on this Wednesday edition of the program. Thank you for tuning in. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Himalaya, of course, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, however you're listening, we appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. And as we sit hours away from the draft, we still have no answers as far as which direction this team's going to go. I heard an interesting, I don't know, I think we're going to call everything a conspiracy at this point until something becomes fact. Is that fair?
Yeah, of course.
Because I heard an interesting conspiracy I wanted to run by the listeners. I wanted to run by Clancy as well before we leave you today. So yesterday, it was all Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson did exactly what Patrick Peterson loves to do and steals a little bit of the spotlight from the draft. And we sat here and we were pretty much, we ended it with, hey, it would be kind of cool if the Cardinals could maybe get a first, and we'll start that as the baseline for Patrick Peterson in return, plus what they could potentially get for Josh Rosen, and then couple that with Kyler Murray at the number one pick. That would be a fun draft season for Arizona Cardinals fans. Is that going to translate to wins and losses? I don't know which scenario you could spin as the one that will result in the most wins on the field. It's not going to be pretty either way, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But now, as we've had time for this to kind of marinate, what do we make of Patrick Peterson? What do we make of the Instagram post? What do we make of, and this was probably a side conversation, Cliff Kingsbury's comments yesterday in regards to Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray. So let's start with the Patrick Peterson stuff.
I mean,
also, let's throw this in here. I know this is like just head-spinning season. That Frank Clark, who's a linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks as of our podcast airing yesterday, then he was traded to the Chiefs for a first-round pick in 2019, a second-round pick in 2020, and then, oh, on top of that, he signs a five-year, $105 million contract.
I mean, you can't help but think that some of that money was Patrick Peterson's, right? I mean, if the conversations are true that the Chiefs was the first team that came up with Antonio Brown, and again, we don't know who to believe at this point. We don't believe anybody. This is like The Walking Dead. Like, you don't believe anybody. But you would think that all that money, you would think they wouldn't want to give all of it to one player. I mean, they're trying to bolster their defense to mirror their offense in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Embarrassment of riches over there. But with Patrick Peterson, and you've said this, he just wants some love.
He does.
And I think this is the jealous act of a guy that hasn't been shown a lot of the spotlight, because Larry Fitzgerald has overshadowed him forever. He's never been the guy in Arizona, regardless of how many Pro Bowls he gets, which is, what, 8 in a row? I mean, he's had every Pro Bowl
career,
every
yeah.
year. Yeah, and first time was as a special teamer, right?
Correct.
Because he ran four back or something.
He was
the first
a dynamic
year.
Kick returner, punt yeah. returner. For
but
the
still, he's been in the spotlight, but he's just been overshadowed by his pseudo-big brother, I guess you could say, Larry Fitzgerald. So pulling the stuff off Instagram, pulling the stuff off Twitter, I don't care. If you don't want to be here, don't pretend like you wanted to be here, which you did over the last several months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not your job to be upset when something in the front office that happens you don't like. You're an employee.
Exactly.
Right?
If you want to be, and I want to piggyback these comments I made yesterday, if you want to be Larry Fitzgerald was not making, he truly understands the business side of football. He's not just going to use that as a stock answer for when he's not happy or when he's accepting of things. Hey, it's a business. Everybody likes to say that, right? But do they truly understand what that means? Patrick Peterson clearly does not have a good grasp of that, because from what we've heard, it was Kent Summers that had the information first that said Patrick Peterson, somebody in the front office of the Arizona Cardinals, said something that he didn't like. He was pissed off. And then, and this kind of piggybacks a little bit of the conspiracy that I was going to bring during this episode, is Patrick Peterson was not satisfied with which direction the team is likely to go with the top pick in the NFL draft, that it's not going to be on the defensive side of the ball, that it's not going to directly benefit Patrick Peterson and in the Cardinals defense.
You would think that he'd be okay with an offensive person coming in the first round. I mean, unless you think that he loves Josh Rosen and then it's Kyler Murray and that's not the guy that you want
right.
to be taken number one. But, I mean, I agree. I mean, their defense was pretty good last year.
I mean,
pretty good.
Given the circumstances when you were 3 and out.
14 points a game. yeah. is what they had to work with. So, listen, if Patrick, I'm surprised Patrick Peterson isn't more upset about other things. If he wanted to say, I'm out, if he said that and stuck with it, good for him. Good. You know what? It's not the best way to do it, but at least we'll get your ass out of here and you can go on your merry way. It would have been better to rip the Band-Aid off then mm-hmm. than hang on, be like, I'm the next, I'm the future, and then you look even worse now.
Right. No, I mean, it's somebody that kind of just, and this is, I like Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
I absolutely love what he does on the field, but as far as these little, these are headaches, and these are, this is not a good look for him, this is not a good look for the organization, and it's what a fool me once, fool me twice situation, but they're going to move on. Cliff Kingsbury says, they at least know where Patrick Peterson is. He's not at voluntary workouts because that's exactly what they are. They're voluntary. I'm sure it stretches beyond that. He's not happy. He's going to take the 3 days off. He's not going to come and volunteer his time. And but he's confident that Patrick Peterson's going to be a Cardinal going forward. But what does that mean? There are. I mean, you can't just do this without any kind of ramifications,
yeah.
right?
A ripple
I mean,
effect.
You,
yeah.
You, there needs to be, the organization needs to be like, hey, dude, if you're unhappy, we need to figure this out. We can't have these tantrums thrown in public.
And I wonder if, I just thought of this. I mean, I wonder, this could be much ado, but I wonder if Terrell Suggs now being on the defense, he sees another threat to his throne as the king
sure.
of the Cardinals.
Well, just wait till things really start to ramp up and people start to go around Terrell Suggs' locker room because he is an engaging.
He's the interview everybody wants.
Absolutely. He's not going to give you just some sort of stock, you know, cliche answer. And unfortunately, that's what Patrick Peterson knows. But that's because
David Johnson, too.
He's following. Who do they follow in the footsteps of?
Fitz.
Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah. And that's great. That's good. But at the same time, it seems to me that Patrick Peterson doesn't want to be Larry Fitzgerald. It's another thing. It's just like, hey, you say you want to be the next Larry Fitz. You say you understand it's a business. But you're really not understanding what it takes to be those guys because that guy doesn't do this. And business, you don't truly understand how business works.
Yeah.
So I just think that he doesn't truly understand what he wants for himself, what he wants from the Cardinals organization, and they need to get on the same page.
Well, Bo, I mean, we'll go to break after this, that in the day and age of people saying they're unhappy and them getting out of there, most of it's being offensive players with Le'Veon Bell, yeah. Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown. This could be a, okay, you're gone.
Right.
Like this could move very quickly. Not necessarily the draft. This just could be happenstance with the timing of all this. But this could be the last. I mean, Patrick Peterson may have played his last down in the Cardinals jersey just with the sheer fact that now players get what they want mm-hmm. to move on.
Well, and they're teams are becoming wise that it's not worth the headache.
Right.
Is they can find, you are replaceable.
There are hundreds of players that are about to be drafted
right.
on Thursday,
I mean,
Friday, and
Saturday. The production, look, there's going to be a huge drop-off. But as far as where the Cardinals are as an organization, sometimes it's just not worth the headache. Sometimes the production, sometimes the perennial Pro Bowler, sometimes it's just time to mutually part ways. I'm not saying that's where it is right now, but I think that in Patrick Peterson's case, he needs to kind of figure out what he truly wants, because it's not being the next Larry Fitzgerald. You want to be the next Patrick Peterson, and really what you understand as far as the business side of this team and what your role is going to be with this team. And you're important to this team. You're about as important as they come. You're one of the top four players on this team, so figure it out. It's Locked On Cardinals. Bo Brock, Alex Clancy, at Clancy's Corner on Twitter, at Bob Rack on Twitter, at Locked On AZ Cards. Follow us. You definitely want to follow us through the NFL draft, which is underway tomorrow night. Nashville. Arizona Cardinals, as of right now, picking number one. I heard some interesting insight, a conspiracy theory. Maybe there's some validity to it. I'm going to lay it out for you next. It's Locked On Cardinals. Back here, Locked On Cardinals, Bo Brock, Alex Clancy. Give us a follow on Twitter at Clancy's Corner, at Bob Brack. Thank you for listening. We're in the home stretch. We're going to have a podcast tomorrow morning before the draft, and we're going to have content post-Cardinals pick, what that's going to look like, probably in the way of tweets, in the way of Twitter videos. You'll find it. Just follow us on our social media accounts, at Bob Rack, at Clancy's
Corner.
I'm going
to miss this.
It is.
Now, you know, it's tiring, but this is a thing where we're going to be yearning for this.
We are, but the soap opera, I promise you, Alex, it's going to continue because
yes.
if what I'm about to lay out is true, things are going to get very interesting in Tempe,
Tell
the
me.
Facility, in Glendale. So all this time, and maybe shame on us for really just taking this angle, is we've been looking at Cliff Kingsbury and really been looking at Steve Keim. What we really haven't paid attention to was the ultimate puppet master here. We haven't really looked at Michael Bidwell.
Okay.
And Michael Bidwell, and this is a, I'll chalk it up as a conspiracy, because I don't want to say it's a legitimate source. There's a lot of speculation. But Michael Bidwell, apparently, is a big Kyler Murray fan. But at the end of the day, Steve Keim is going to make the decision. But he's got to make the decision with the president, CEO, and what he wants. This is a very Jerry Jones-esque Johnny Manziel draft situation, where is Steve Keim going to be Stephen Jones? And is he going to be the one who's going to have the cooler head, who's going to make the decision that's best for the franchise going forward as far as results and what's going to put them in a position to be successful? Or are they going to go for pure entertainment value, selling tickets? Because that's what apparently Michael Bidwell could be enamored with.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you couldn't find a more stark contrast between two players. Kyler Murray's not just like a, because with the quarterbacks that came out last year, aside from Baker a little bit, they're kind of boring guys. Sam Darnold, boring. Josh Allen, he's got some run, but he played in the Mountain West. Don't really know a whole lot about him except for he's big and he can run.
Yeah.
Josh Rosen's kind of boring, you know, kind of just stereotypical guys.
Exactly. Like, he's a good size. Not huge, right? He's not Josh Allen. He's not Cam Newton. He's not 6'5".
And really, it's really
not rifle armed.
It's splitting hairs between the three of them. I mean, really, when it all comes down to it, they're all probably going to be pretty good. We don't see anybody that's going to be transcendent. We don't know. This year, you either have a boring interior lineman or an edge rusher with some interesting likes on Instagram, or or maybe the most electric player that we've ever seen in the NFL at the quarterback position. Potentially. I mean, yeah. I'm saying that the...
He's got a video game skill set.
Yeah. What Michael Vick in video games used to be like is what Kyler Murray looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so it's so different with what they're going to do. If they do stick and stay at number one, it will change the face one way or the other. There's no safe pick here.
Mm-mm.
It's either we're going defense or we're going offense. And it... And the more I think about this, there's no way they're not drafting Kyler Murray. But I think that there are cooler heads in that room looking at the grand scheme of the Zach Martin versus Johnny Manziel situation, where it's like, you know what, Nick Bosa or Quinn Williams is probably the right choice here.
Yeah.
It probably is. And if you don't want to make the choice, get the hell out of the first pick.
It's just, to me, if you're Steve Keim, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You've got what you are well aware, and it's probably something that weighs heavy on him, of what your boss's wishes are. But also, it's just like, it's like dealing with your mom, and you know that she wants you to do one thing, and it would just crush her, but she's just going to put on her mom smile, even if you decide to do the polar opposite.
Oh, I know that too much.
Everybody knows that all too well. Yeah. It's like, do what makes you happy, honey. But if you end up, you know, quitting your job to
pursue...
Makes
me wonder why I have kids.
Right.
It's why I had kids.
It's tough. I just don't... I don't know. Steve Keim, how is he going to spin if he truly is in the camp and continues to pick who he believes is the best player available? I can't imagine any reality where Kyler Murray is that guy. You know, where you're looking at... You're just going to proof that's shown me that this is the best player in this draft. I don't think that Kyler Murray isn't in the conversation. Look... 4,300 yards, 42 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 1,000 yards rushing, 12 touchdowns on the ground.
So many.
I mean, those are stupid numbers.
That's 54 touchdowns.
Those are, yeah. I mean, that's what? That's,
like
that's
four
it's
a
in
game.
The Big 12, though. Does that count? Does that count? Is
Cliff
that
Kingsbury's
like playing
the head
at Coors Field in baseball?
Cliff Kingsbury is the head coach.
Cliff Kingsbury is the head coach.
So it doesn't. It's a Big 12 there, too.
It is.
I mean, the numbers, well, Dwayne Haskins, he had put up 50 in the Big 10, which is more exciting. I'm assuming Dwayne Haskins is, so why isn't he going number one overall? So, I mean, there's more than just the numbers with him. I mean, you put up 14 points a game last year. You're dead last by a couple points in the NFL. It makes sense that they would try and catch lightning in a little teeny tiny quarterback bottle and draft Kyler Murray. I mean, I just don't. At this point, we've talked over every single inch of the corn maze that is what the Cardinals could do. And
But when we look at this dysfunction, right? I mean, how much are we really put? I mean, and I think Keim certainly deserves it. But it just makes me look back to the end of the season, and we're sitting here at the new year, 2019. We're saying goodbye to Steve Wilks, but yet we are riding and dying with Steve Keim again after what happened in the summer. To me, he's probably been. I mean, that was a working relationship that really couldn't be infiltrated. I mean, these guys were hand in hand. It was Bidwell. It was Keim. They worked in concert together. They had this failure of a season. And not only do you have that, you have this stain of a DUI where you completely just crush the trust of the person that you're working alongside. Mm-hmm. And then has Bidwell, in a way, castrated his GM and his ability to kind of be this risk-taking guy.
Well, it's so funny. I mean, it seems like a Robert Sarver, James Jones situation where it's like, you know what? At least I know I can control this guy.
Right.
And listen, this is all...
It didn't used to be that way, I don't feel.
Because of David Johnson.
Right.
That's why. Because of David Johnson and because...
Let's remember Amir Abdullah was the pick before that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's who they wanted.
Yeah.
The Lions saved them from making a mistake.
From going 0-16.
Right.
One of these years. So, you know, again, we're pontificating like everybody else, but I feel like I've never, even though my gut says they're going to take Kyler Murray, which I don't think is the right choice, I still go back and forth. I waver between, nah, they won't. Like, they won't. Like, they won't. Like, look at the landscape of this team, Bo. I mean, if you put in Nick Bosa or Quinnen Williams in that defense, that's a top 10 defense.
Right.
But then where do you leave the offense? Do you trust Josh Rosen? Like, all these questions that everybody's been listening to, all the podcasts and all the, you know, all the outlets and everything. It's that confusing for what the right move is. Screw selling tickets. It's like Kyler Murray could be Steve Keim's 10-year extension player.
Sure.
If you have the Kajingas to draft him, and Dan Patrick said it right. He goes, there's only one team. Kyler Murray doesn't fit any team in number one except for the Cardinals.
No, he doesn't.
Because you may as well just say, F it at this point. We're either going to be, we're going to win 8 games this year, or we're going to win 1, and everybody's going to get fired.
He's going to go play for the Giants? Probably not. He's going to play...
It'd be like Cincinnati, which is not a place for
Cincinnati
a guy.
Cincinnati with Zach Taylor? I mean, Zach Taylor, he coached Jared Goff. That's not exactly the skill set you're looking
for. Miami,
for.
If you want to do...
Miami, Brian Flores is the head coach, defensive-minded
guy. Needs
help
offensively?
He certainly does. I mean, Washington with Jay Gruden, he's a guy that's kind of coached...
Quarterback guy?
He's coached more... I mean, Alex Smith is... the most athletic quarterback he's coached.
And Alex Smith was also a finished product at
right,
that point.
But I wouldn't say that Smith's main attribute is his athleticism at this point in his career. He's a passing guy.
Yeah, but he was still very sneaky.
Yeah.
But nobody's going to know what to do with him except for Cliff.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to. And do you bring in Cliff and say, you know what, if Kyler comes out, are we taking him? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, as we get closer and closer, it's almost defeating. Like, there's no definitive answer. And as far as the Cardinals and where they stand in their organization, do they know who the pick is at this point in the process? As we said, we're about 24 hours away from decision time when they're officially on the clock. We debate whether or not the Cardinals know which direction we feel they're going to go, and also some takeaways from voluntary workouts yesterday, what we saw between Cliff Kingsbury and Josh Rosen, and what the new coach had to say. You're listening to Locked On Cardinals. We tackle all that next. It's the last segment of Locked On Cardinals, your Wednesday edition, your last show before draft day. It's draft eve. My God. We've got the stockings hung with care.
Yeah.
We've got the...
You got coal in yours.
We've got the non-alcoholic beverage set out for Steve Keim that he can consume with cookies.
Like the fake vodka. So it looks like where you think it's real, but it's fake.
We're right there. We're on the precipice of finding out.
Yeah.
And it's funny, as we sit here, Bo Brock and Alex Clancy, at Clancy's Corner, at Bob Rack, on Twitter, I thought we were going to have a little bit more information to make an educated guess on which direction this team's going to go. I do not feel that they've made a decision, and I feel like Steve Keim is still jockeying between. He's jockeying between what his boss wants and what he holds true to believe in his own heart.
Well,
his own Steve Keim.
What is it?
I think that Steve Keim is probably looking at Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams. The way he talked about Quinnen Williams in the pre-draft press conference a couple weeks ago or last week, He said he was dominant.
Yeah.
You know, and he probably looks at him as a mauler on the inside of that defense, that he could create pass lanes for guys like Chandler Jones, a guy who's Chandler Jones is probably the reason that Steve Keim still has a job, is because he's one of the few guys to swindle Bill Belichick into making a bad deal.
Right.
He trades one second round pick. Think about what Frank Clark went for yesterday. Frank Clark, the linebacker from the Seahawks, went for a second round pick of 2020 and a first round pick of 2019.
And a swap of the 2022 third round picks or something.
Something stupid.
Which will be
like
higher
that.
For Seattle.
Yeah. And here Steve Keim gets Chandler Jones, who's been at the top, if not the leading sack artist in the NFL since 2016. Mm-hmm. That's probably why he's still employed. And so he's gonna puff his chest out as far as Chandler Jones, and if he can continue to get him to the quarterback a little bit easier. You've got Terrell Suggs, who had 7 sacks last year, will probably fall in around the same number of sacks as he did last year this year. And then you got Quinn Williams, who's going to be not only a guy that's going to be disruptive, but he's going to probably, like, not at an Aaron Donald-type pace. He's not going to reach the 20-sack plateau, but he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I think if I'm looking at Steve Keim, he's hooked up to a lie detector. He probably thinks Quinnen Williams the best prospect in this draft.
I mean, there are a couple of things that I'm still thinking about with regards to Steve Keim. Well, there's one with Steve Keim, one something else. One, the needs that the Cardinals have and who they're thinking about drafting, they've had first-round busts from all those positions. And the jury's out on Josh Rosen. Okay, so Hassan Reddick, 13, linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Different linebacker than Nick Bosa, but a linebacker nonetheless. Not so much an edge rusher. Yes, he had 3 different defensive schemes in 3 years, including his last year in college. But Robert Kendiche, interior lineman. So that's a Quinnen Williams situation. Man, I don't want to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
And then Josh Rosen, you put him in there. That's 3 first-round picks that Steve Keim has whiffed on. And again, the jury's out for Josh Rosen. The one thing that I am hoping for, selfishly, fan-wise, not as a Cardinals fan, but just as an NFL fan and sports fan in general, is that there are 0 leaks about who this pick is going to be until Roger Goodell walks up and says it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Bo, I don't want to know. I don't want Rapoport, because I know that there's a...
Jay Glazer probably knows, right?
Well, yeah. Well, he also... Yeah. I mean, he's known for 6 months, I think. He knows before they do. But there's always, like, the tweet right before the draft starts. Before the gag order is put in place with all the insiders tweeting. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I want Roger Goodell to walk and be like, the Arizona Cardinals have traded the number one pick. Holy crap. The Arizona Cardinals are drafting Nick Bosa. Yeah. Aw. Or the Arizona Cardinals are drafting Kyler Murray, and then the TV explodes.
Right. You want that red wedding. You want that organic reaction. Holy crap.
I want the Kaiser Sose.
Yeah. You want Leo in The Departed.
Yeah.
When he gets...
Oh, the elevator.
When he gets snuffed out in the elevator. Spoiler
Anthony
alert.
Anderson, bro.
Yeah. It's... man...
I just
want
to.
That's
what I want.
I would love to avoid it, but at the same time, it's a it's an occupational hazard if we don't figure out who. And that would be a bummer, because we would get this close and then you get it spoiled that close to draft day. I agree. I want to go up. I want to see what happens.
We earn it.
Yeah.
We've earned it.
That's right. So as we sit here, could it be that Steve Keim is trying to decipher whether or not he wants to make the move to take Kyler Murray and appease his boss? A guy that I think that he probably feels a little bit more heat from these days more than ever? Or is he going to decide to go off? Does he want the pass rusher? Does he want the defensive lineman? Does he want the best player available in Nick Bosa or Quinnen Williams? Still so many decisions to make. I think that we can take out of this that Cliff Kingsbury is not making any of the decisions. And just from what I witnessed yesterday, he's working with Josh Rosen as if they're moving forward together. It could be just an understanding that maybe they talked to Rosen and said, hey, we're shopping you, and, you know, please be a good soldier, and we'll make sure that you end up in the best place possible.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, this is the deal. We got a decision to make. It's a business. We could be going forward with you, or we could be going forward with Murray. If we decide to go forward with you, you're our guy. Just know that. I don't know. I mean, there's so many things at play here. It's been a fun draft season. I think we appreciate everybody for listening
and going
through all of our crazy scenarios. But, man, I can't wait to see the payoff tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, and one thing is for sure, that I've been right this whole time. I've been carrying this podcast with my hot, correct takes.
And we had the, if you want to check it out, we had the Back to the Future podcast where we go through the two scenarios.
This is Bo's favorite. He had to explain to me what Back to the Future
meant. That was last Friday's podcast.
That was
so
good.
Find it wherever you take in podcasts. But we'll have it tomorrow. We'll have full reaction. Maybe we'll have an answer the next time we crack these mics before the draft even happens. We'd be bummed about it, but we could certainly talk about it. We knew Baker, I think, at this point. Or
it was close. I think it might have been the day before or around this time, yes.
So we'll see. We could have answers. Keep it locked in to Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.